Blog Talk Radio.
We can get within some. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that has been designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and how to enhance that relationship. Because the relationships some of us had so far has been a travesty and has not worked for us. They've worked against us because basically we failed to follow instructions. And also to help improve relationships with one another and with strangers, different nations. Sometimes with different nations, you can't get along with them because they have no desire to be honest and truthful with you. So therefore, you can't establish and keep a quality relationship. And that's why people say, well, I am a doubting person. I have skepticism when it comes to the people in this Western Hemisphere, in these United States of America, why I'm a skeptic of their so-called social equality and our political rights. The reason being, I have good reason, 402 years of historical data. So if I'm a skeptic, I have good reason. As I said, 402 years of historical data that their word cannot be trusted. And even if they give their word, sometimes years later, shorter than that, sometimes 6 months later, 6 days later, 6 weeks later, they started to change their minds and things revert back to the same or either worse than they were before. So unfortunately, in the case of some people, you can't get along with them. But that don't mean you don't try. And when you try, you find out that they have no intention on being honest, and words should mean every day. And people have no, are not in intent on honoring their word. Sometimes you have to back off of them. Even though it may be a nation, it may be an individual. Because once someone had proven to be dishonest in their word, it's all about relationships. And getting to that, you know, I like to make comments on ongoing subject matter, contemporary subject matters, before we get started in our studies. Joe Biden and the Attorney General of these United States of America did an interview about trying to reduce the violence in this Western Hemisphere. Now, some of the things he talked about were quite lofty, but I'm a cause and effect guy. You know, color between the lines type guy, codification, factual type guy, evidence-based type guy. I just don't see it. I saw a lot of lofty ideas pertaining to mental health, pertaining to homelessness. They were good. I'm not taking that away from them. But overall, the big picture, I don't think it's going to amount to much. My reason for saying that is this. It's just like a dam going into a bottle, and you're trying to do everything you can to stop the damn water from bursting that bottle, overflowing that bottle. You're putting on old patches, so to speak. You're trying to keep the stability of the bottle together, but nevertheless, the water out of the dam is just overwhelming. And so the water out of the dam is immorality and wickedness. The water out of the dam is the overflowing rate of weapons in this country. So when you got these two components here, no matter what you're trying to do, your lofty ideas about trying to improve government, and I commend him for his efforts, but you're being over inundated and overconsumed by the overflow of immorality and guns in this country. And until you can get a check on that, until you can stifle the flow on that, It's going to be another long, hot summer and more to come. Sort of what, like Malcolm X said, chicken comes home to roost. And that old poetic saying, karma, you reap what you sow. If that's what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So, as I said, Joe Biden came up with some lofty ideas. Yeah. I commend him for his efforts. I'm a cause and effect guy. I just don't see the outcome for that. And especially if America continues in its pursuit of immorality and putting guns on the market. It's true. Okay, before we get started, I'd like to bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and your family also.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you.
Yeah, man. That was your only commentary for today, huh? The violence in Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, as you always said, I said a mouthful. I think I said a mouthful with that one.
Joe Biden trying to put a stop to gun violence in America is like him trying to find clean water in a sewer.
I like that country. Try to buy clean water in the sewer. That's a good one. I like that. Oh, man. Woo. Go ahead, country.
America is the most violent nation on earth, inside and outside. Mm-hmm. They fight in wars like they're the police of the earth. Who asked you to go into Afghanistan? Who asked you to go into Iraq? Who asked you to go into Kuwait, Vietnam, Korea, and on and on and on and on? Who asked them?
Yeah.
And when they went into Iraq for the many years, how long they was in Iraq? 18 years?
Oh, I think it's more like 20. Hold on, Katria. Hold on. I don't want to lie to nobody. I don't want to mislead.
Looking for weapons of mass destruction that they didn't have.
Let me check. Go ahead. Continue on, Carter. I'm going to get that information.
But they lost 300,000 children in the Iraqi war.
Mm.
That's a whole generation, man.
Yeah, it is. Mm.
So,
and you,
chickens come home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. America is the biggest arm dealer on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
America is in more wars on the planet than any other nation. America is shooting their police force, unarmed brothers and sisters in the street, got us incarcerated. Lord knows what goes on behind some iron, cell doors on a daily basis. And then you got these mass shootings. They got to pay for the massacres of the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay for the massacres of our people who were slaves.
Right.
After, quote unquote, they released them from slavery, burnt down and destroyed what they built up and hung people from trees on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
That blood is flying from the ground. The earth is polluted with the blood in America. America is stained with blood, and blood costs of blood. So there's no justice. There's no remedy for the blood that has been shed. So the blood continues to cry out.
Mm-hmm. Cartrell, I think they've been there since 2001. 20 years. Right.
20 years.
20 years.
And 2001 was an inside job.
Yep.
9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I know firsthand, because I built one of them buildings that went down.
Right.
There was no way, no airplane hit building number 7. The whole plane hit that, and it went down faster than gravity. How the hell, my friend, how the building go down faster than gravity?
Just a quick. So the building that dropped like a pancake.
And that shows they will kill their own citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the sake of going to war, making money on the war machine.
Right. Give me a reason. So give me a reason, Cartrell.
Give you a reason?
So give me a reason to go to war.
And what does it go for?
Nothing, because there was no weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, just broken lives they left behind.
Yeah, broken
like
lives.
Like they about to do in Afghanistan.
I like that, Katria, broken lives.
Yep.
It's true. They left broken
the whole
lives.
Infrastructure. They don't have no schools, no hospitals. They got to start from scratch.
Right, broken lives.
So no wonder America's filled with violence.
Exactly. Small wonder, huh?
You live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Amen, brother. You
more
can't
guns
get away
in America than people.
Yeah,
crazy.
You can't get... It is crazy. All right.
It's too much fear.
What's the contrary?
People have way too much fear for there to be more guns than people in America.
Exactly.
And road rage. You see little children getting shot because somebody cuts somebody off on a highway.
It's crazy, ain't it, brother? It's crazy, Cartrell.
Unbelievable.
Get together. Yeah. Unbelievable. Sickening. Certainly right, Cartrell. Certainly right. All right. If Cartrell's done with his commentary, I am, and we'll get ready to do our studies.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do one chapter of 2 Kings 22, and we're going to finish up tomorrow with 23. No, hold on. Let's see. Okay. No, okay. Right, we're going to do 22 and 23, and we're going to complete Kings 24 and 25, Most High willing, tomorrow. Then we'll start in the Chronicles, okay? All right. May the Most High bless us, because this is the most important piece of information that you will ever receive in your lives. And more important than your marriage license, what more important than your medical report, more important than your grades in high school and college and whatnot. The information that we're providing for you is the most important piece of information that you will ever receive, because it will help you in facilitating a quality relationship with your God, which is imperative, and with each other, which is imperative, and with different strangers, different nations. It's also imperative. Quality relationship is, because I said, Cartrell just mentioned it. We just shoot anybody for any reason. Road rage, monkey rage, dog rage, any kind of rage. We just look for a reason to be enraged. Enraged about anything. And then as a result, little babies get shot in the back seats of cars, sometimes in baby seats. A lack of quality relationships. Now you see how imperative these studies will help you. If everybody was on the same code, if everybody was on the same page, so to speak, things would be a whole lot better. That being said, may the Most High bless us, especially if we apply these codifications. Josiah, King Josiah, was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Bochah. He did what was pleasing to Yah. He followed the ways of his ancestor, King David. He did not deviate to the right or to the left, in the 18th year of King Josiah. The king sent the scribe Shaphan, son of Azaliah, son of Mazulah, to the house of Yah, saying, go to the high priest Hilkiah, and let him weigh the silver that has been deposited in the house of Yah, which the guards of the threshold have collected from the people. Let it be delivered to the overseers of the work who are in charge of the house of Yah, that they in turn may pay out the workmen that are in the house of Yah for the repair of the house. The carpenters, Cartrell knows about that, laborers, masons, for the purchase of wood and quarried stone for repairing. Everything needs repair. Even your relationship with Yah can stand some repairing. People just get into something, they don't even try to repair anything, contrary to fellow students. They think it's just everything's just going to stay the way it is without even making repairing in your relationships. However, no check is to be kept on them for the silver that is delivered to them, for they deal honestly. They are honest. Then the high priest Hilkiah said to the scribe Shaphan, I found a scroll of the teaching in the house of Yah. And the high priest Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan, who read it. The scribe Shaphan then went to the king and reported to the king, your servant have melted down the silver that was deposited in the house. They have delivered it to the overseers of the work who are in charge of the house of the Elohim. The scribe Shaphan also told the king, your high priest Hilkiah has given me a scroll. He found something that's been lost. And Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard the words of the scroll of the teaching, he rent his clothes like all of us should be. When something new comes to you about Yah that you were not privy to, and it should cause you consternation. And it caused whatever was in the reading caused him consternation. And he rent his clothes as a result, because he wanted to keep his quality relationship with Yah. The king gave orders to the high priest, Hilkiah.
Yom Tov.
Yes.
He was reading that dinosaur stuff we're reading right now.
Oh, but that dinosaur stuff is good stuff, Katria.
That's why he rent his clothes, didn't he?
Yeah. Just because it's old don't make it right. Don't make it not right, Katria.
And the reason he rent his clothes, he knew that the people and himself were way off the mark.
He read
the instructions.
Yeah, they kept it well because they had them newfangled things going on. They had newfangled things going on, Katria. But the newfangled things was not like that dinosaur message. That dinosaur message caused some consternation, which caused all of us consternation. It ain't newfangled. You know, call Katria. And Yom Suf, dinosaurs, if you will. But the thing about that is this. We are old school, but them ain't our words. They far older than Cartrell and Yom Suf. You better believe it. They better.
And you know what?
Listen, go ahead, Cartrell.
They older than a dinosaur, too.
Ooh-wee. Ooh. I'm going to leave that alone. But you ain't lying.
God's word is older than a dinosaur. We came first.
Lying.
God's word or the dinosaur.
You ain't lying, brother. The king gave orders to the high priest Hilkiah and to Ahakam, son of Shaphan, and Akbar, son of Mesh-Majiah, the scribe, Shaphan, and Haziah, the king's minister. Go, inquire of the Elohim on my behalf and on behalf of the people and on behalf of all Yehuda concerning the words of this scroll that has been found. For great indeed must be the wrath of Yah that has been kindled against us because our fathers did not obey the words of this scroll to do all that has been prescribed for us. Because we ain't been doing something right now. Now, this what it is, I need to know. The people need to know, okay? Because y'all evidently got to be angry with us because we ain't doing what's right. Like, we want to have a quality relationship with him, okay? We don't want no trouble. So the high priest, Hilkiah, Hakam, Akbar, Shaphan, and Ashiah went to the prophet, a sister. Your sisters have always played a great part in our nation. They went to this prophet, Hodiah, like Sister Hadura name or somewhere. Hodiah, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tifa, son of Pahash, the keeper of the wardrobe, king's wardrobe, who was living in Jerusalem in Meshne. They spoke to her. She responded, thus said Yah, the Elohim of Israel, said to the man who sent you to me, thus said Yah, I'm going to bring disaster upon this place and its inhabitants in accordance with the words of the scroll which the king of Yehuda has read. Why? Because they have forsaken me and made offerings to other gods and vexed me with all their deeds. My wrath is kindled against this place. It should not be quenched. I said this to the king who should sent you to inquire, because at least he had an inquiring mind. Thus said Yah, the Elohim of Israel. And so the words which you have heard, because your heart was softened, and you humbled yourself before Yah, when you heard that what I decreed against this place and its inhabitants, that it would become a desolation and a curse, and because you showed evidence of it because you rent your clothes and wept before me. I, for my part, have listened, declares the Elohim. Assuredly, I will gather you to your fathers. You will die, and you will be laid in a tomb in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the disasters which I will bring upon this place. So they go back to reply to the king. The Most High said, I like the way you responded to this. It ain't going to change nothing. Ultimately, I'm going to let you die in peace, but the outcome going to be the outcome. I saw how you responded to it. I like that. I'm going to show you some love. But for the rest of they ain't like you. They're not repentant. They ain't trying to change it. They trying to double down on the madness. Just like Cottrell said, in accordance to this Western Hemisphere, blood got to be answered. Justice got to be preserved. I'm talking about real justice. Thus we have the outcome of the violence in this long, hot summer to come, and many more. Because justice has not been met, and blood has not been met. So it is what it is. And it's going to do what it do. But, you know, the king got some love. He died in peace. But blood got to be answered. Justice got to be met. And that's that on that. In accordance to this Western Hemisphere, too. Cadre, my dear brother and friend, what say you? Cadre, I think your mic is off.
Yeah, change your side.
Uh-huh.
Make up what his fathers had done.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he tried to rectify some of the things
right.
that were done in the nation, but sentence and that judgment had already been pronounced
right.
under the former king. So. Most right. times I'm going to let you live in peace because you try to do the right thing, but that judgment was already sent out, and he's not going to bring it back. But the fact that this king, right, was humble enough to listen to a woman, do you remember her name?
Hodiah, something like that. Come to that.
Hulda.
Like Hodora.
Like Hilda.
Yeah, Hilda. Hulda.
Like Broomhilda.
Yeah.
They turned Hulda into a witch.
Hilda. He listened to Hulda too, didn't he?
Yeah, and what was her message?
Yeah.
It wasn't too nice, but in the end, it had a little nicety.
She kept it real, Kytria.
She had to.
She didn't send him no sugar sugar sandwiches, okay?
And she proved prophetic enough to know what went on.
Right.
Right? Because you prayed and humbled yourself. How does she know that? Because she's a prophetess.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
He said, because they have forsaken me, the kings of Judah, and have burnt incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all their works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. So there was nothing the king Josiah could do to abate Yah's wrath, even though he tried to do good. He said, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of Yah, thus shall you say to him, thus shall Yah Elohim of Yisrael, as touching the words which he has heard. Because our heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before Yah, and you heard what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes. How does she know he rent his clothes? And wept before me. I have heard you, says Yah. So don't underestimate the power of our women, because Yah speaks to our women too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't knock
so
that.
It ain't all about the brothers.
No. Not when it comes to the truth. Okay?
Nope. Speaking to the highest brother in the land. Like, yo, my man, it's going down, bro. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. I ain't going to sell you no sugarcoated sandwich. No,
I'm going to tell you like it is.
Exactly.
And that's what she did. All right. Thank you, Katrina.
How many of us are bold enough to do that, to speak truth to the leaders? Speak truth to power. That's what she did.
Not very many, Katrina. Not very. Okay. Chapter 23, Second Kings. At the king's summons, all the elders, an intricate part of our nation, of Yehuda and Jerusalem, assembled before him. All the elders.
The dinosaur thinkers.
The dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. All the dinosaurs.
He called all the dinosaurs together. The king went up to the house. Go ahead.
He called them first.
Yeah, he did. The king went up to the house of Yah, together with all the men of Yehuda and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets. All the people, young and old, they came too. He read to them. He educated them. He didn't have a celebration. He had an educational moment. He didn't come and say, let's eat, drink, and have barbecue, shake our booties and whatnot. We got the word of y'all. Let's have a barbecue, shake our booties, and throw out some bullets at one another. Now, he had an educational moment.
That's and who did he want to be educated first?
Right.
The elders.
The elders.
He wanted the elders to be educated first.
Right.
That's who he gathered first.
In order to educate.
Yeah, so elders, you can still be educated. You can't teach an old fool new trick.
Yeah, if you're a fool, you certainly can. And he read to them he educated them on the entire text of the contract, the codification scroll, which had been found in the house of Yah. The king stood by the pillar and solemnized the covenant before Yah, the contract, the codification, that they would follow the Elohim and observe his commandments, his injunction, his laws with all their heart and soul, that they would fulfill all the terms of this contract, this codification, as inscribed upon the scroll. All the people entered into the contract, codification. Then the king ordered the high priest Hilkiah and the priests of the second rank and the guards of the threshold to bring out the temple out of the temple of Yah, all the objects made by Baal and Asherah and all the hosts of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the field of Kedron, and he removed the ashes to Bethul. He suppressed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Yehuda had appointed, to make offerings at the shrines and the towns of Yehuda, and in the environs of Jerusalem, and those who made offering to Baal, to the sun, and the moon, and the constellation, all the hosts of heaven. He brought out all the images of Asherah from the house of Yah to Kedron Valley outside of Jerusalem, and burned it in Kedron Valley. He beat it to dust and scattered it dust over the burial ground of the common people. He tore down the cubicles of the LGBTQ people, the male prostitutes, in the house of Yah, at the place where the women wore covering for Asherah. He brought all the priests from the towns of Yehuda to Jerusalem and defiled the shrines with where the priests had been making offerings, from Gibbat to Bathsheba. He also demolished the shrines of the gate, which were at the entrance of the gate of Yahshua, the city perfect governor, which were on a person left as he entered the city's gate. They had idols and churches everywhere. The priests of the shrines, however, did not ascend the altar of Yah in Jerusalem. They ate unleavened bread along with their kinsmen. He also defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so that no one might consign his son or daughter to the fire of Moloch. He did away with the horses that the king of Yehuda had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of Yah, near the chamber of the eunuch Nathan Melech, which were in the precincts. He burnt the chariots of the sun. The king tore down the altars made by the kings of Yehuda on the roof by the upper chamber of Ahaz, and the altars made by Manasseh, King Ahaz and King Manasseh, in the two courts of the house of Yah. He removed them quickly from there and scattered their rubble in Kindron's valley. The king also defiled the shrines facing Jerusalem to the south, the mount of the shore, which King Solomon of Israel had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of Sidonians, for Shemush, the abomination of Moab. They had churches everywhere, country. And Malcolm, testable thing of the Ammonites. He shattered their pillars and cut down their sacred posts and covered their sites with human bones. As for the altar at Bethul and the shrines made by King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin, that altar too, and the shrines as well, he tore down. He burnt down the shrines and beat it to dust, and he burnt the sacred posts. King Yahshua turned and saw the graves that were there on the hill, and he had the bones taken out the graves and burned on the altar. Thus he defiled it, in fulfillment of the word that Yah foretold by the man of Yah who foretold this happened. He said, "What is the marker I see there?" The men of the town replied, "That is the grave of the man of Yah who came from Yehuda and foretold these things that you have done to the altar of Bethel. Let him be," he said, "let no one disturb his bones." So they left his bones undisturbed, together with the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. King Yahshua also abolished all the cut places in the towns of Samaria, which the king of Israel had built, vexing the Elohim. He dealt with them just as he had done to Bethuel. He slew on the altar all the priests of the shrines who were there. He killed them on their own altars and burned human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. The king took action. The king commanded all the people, "Offer the Passover sacrifice to Yah, your Elohim, as prescribed in the scroll and the covenant, the codification." Now the Passover sacrifice had not been offered in that manner in the days of the chieftains who ruled Israel, or the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Yehuda. Only in the 18th year of King Yahshua was such a Passover sacrifice offered in that manner. Man, they had forgot Yah in Jerusalem. King Yahshua also did away with the necromancers and the mediums, the witchcraft and sorcerers, the idols and the fetishes. All the detestable things that were to be seen in the land of Yehuda and Jerusalem. Thus he fulfilled the terms of the teachings recorded in the scroll that the priest, the high priest Hilkiah, had found in the house of the Elohim. There was no king like him before who turned back to Yah with all his heart, soul, and might, and fought accordance with the teaching of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. However, the Elohim did not turn away from his awesome wrath. It pushed him to the limit. It was too much, too little, too late, which it blazed up against Yehuda because of all the things King Manasseh did to vex him. The Elohim said, I will also banish Yehuda from my presence. As I banished Jezreel, the 10 tribes, I'm going to banish Yehuda, Benjamin, the Levites. I will reject the city of Jerusalem, which I chose, and the house where I said my name would abide. The other events of King Josiah's reign and all his action are recorded in the annals of the kings of Yehuda. In his days, Pharaoh, Necho, read about him, study on him. He's in the history book, looked somewhat like you and me. King of Mizraim marched against the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. King Josiah marched toward him. But when he confronted him at Megiddo, Pharaoh Necho slew him. And his servant conveyed his body in a chariot from Megiddo to Jerusalem. They buried him in his tomb. Then the people of the land took Jehoshaphat. They anointed him and made him king in the place of his father. King Jehoshaphat was 23 years old when he became king. He reigned only 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutha, daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He did what was displeasing to the Elohim, just as his father had done before. Pharaoh Necho imprisoned him in Rekbah, in the region of Hamah, to keep him from reigning in Jerusalem. He imposed on the land an indemnity of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then Pharaoh Necho appointed Eliakim, son of Josiah, king in place of his father. Josiah changed his name to Jehoiakim. He took Jehoahaz and brought him back to Mizraim where he died. King Jehoiakim gave Pharaoh the silver and the gold. He made an assessment on the land to pay the money demanded by Pharaoh. He exacted from the people of the land the silver and gold to be paid Pharaoh Necho, according to each man's assessment, his ability. King Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebuda, daughter of Padiah, of Rumah. He did what was displeasing to Yah, just as his ancestors had done before. Small wonder we are in the boat we're in, Cottrell. Small wonder. And you wonder why we're like we are, stubborn and stiff-necked. All right.
So when the Most High tells us that we have to apologize for what our fathers did in breaking that covenant, now we understand why, right?
Yeah, they was a hot mess. Yeah, but they really insulted him. They built churches on every corner. They were in some of them churches, they were sacrificing babies and whatnot. Some of them churches, they had the LGBTQ folks up in there, having booty calls or whatever they were there. You know, they was a hot mess up there. So don't act like we weren't dirty like everybody else. Because the Most High said, y'all act worse than the folks I got rid of out of there. Y'all act worse than the folks I got rid of out of there. Man, Lord, how much these folks, oh, Lord, these folks I'd have bought out of misery. I'd have took through the wilderness. I'd have fed. I'd have clothed. I'd have loved on when didn't nobody love they. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And look at them. Look at them. Yeah, Contrio. We need to pray for forgiveness to y'all for them. Okay? I can't blame them.
Yeah, imagine doing a jihad today, like King Josiah, on all these idol-worshipping religions.
Right.
King Josiah tore up everything that was a violation in the land, talking about chariots and horses and worshipping the host of heaven and
everything,
and children and homosexuality and
everything,
witchcraft and
everything.
What wasn't they doing?
That's the question, Gabriel. You asked a million out of it. What wasn't they doing?
They wasn't doing the Passover until King Josiah brought it back into effect. He said from the time of the judges. Wait a minute. Yeah. Hold up.
That's
from the time of the judges, y'all wasn't doing Passover until King Josiah?
That's a long time, Gabriel.
And you had the land? You had sheep? You had conquered the land? Y'all wasn't doing Passover the whole time y'all were there, from the time of the judges until the time of King Josiah.
They were following the codification, Contrary.
Not at all.
They were following.
They had to break out the book.
Yeah.
Like break out the scroll. Find out where we are.
Yeah, what
and
we
when
supposed
they read to? That, they was like, oh, no. We way off.
Man, they had idols and everything, Contrary.
That's the same realization that we should be having while we're reading the Old Testament now. The same realization that they came to, the same awakening that they came to, we should be coming to even it's the same awakening. We've been without this codification, without this covenant for so long.
Exactly. And we need it, Gabriel. By the looks of it, we need this codification more than we need life itself. Okay?
And it came to us both. How many of us, when we come to this realization, will rip off our clothes? Like, everything that I stood for before, it doesn't mean jack.
Well, Contrary, you know why some of our folks ain't ripping off their clothes. They got them already off anyway, twerking their behind.
So they should rip that off and put on sackcloth.
Yeah, they already naked, already got their butt turned up to these idols out here, shaking it and whatnot, you know. And these fellas got their pants on their buckets and whatnot, you know, embarrassing situation to these idols and whatnot. So they're already there for being naked and humbling, but it ain't for the right thing, though, okay?
The king ripped his clothes off and put on sackcloth.
Right.
Lowly clothes.
Right.
Clothes that pretty much itch when you put it on. Very uncomfortable. Sackcloth.
Yeah, they were real uncomfortable, Contrary.
Why? Yeah, why did he do that?
Because
he realized how far off spiritually they were from the Most High God.
Yeah.
And when it came to that realization, they needed to make a drastic change.
Exactly.
Yeah, all the ways you've been living, the old ways, you got to rip that off.
What Michael Jackson said, Contrary, make that change.
Starting with the man in the mirror.
Make that change.
It's good enough for the king.
It's the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way. No faith
get any better. If you want to make a change. Yeah, if you want to make a change, y'all better get in that book right now. Y'all better get in that book and get your mind right. Stop playing. Worshiping all these different idols and religions and all this witchcraft and sorcery, the LBGTQYXYZ. Y'all worship all things at the right thing. All them things ain't going to work for y'all, okay? You're only lying to yourself and each other, okay? And they lying to you, and you lying to yourself. None of that stuff going to work for y'all, okay? We tried that. You see where they got us? Stop it. Go ahead, Contrail.
We still on square one. If we're even on the square.
We ain't even on the mark, Contrail. Unfortunately, my brother, we're not even on the mark.
Okay.
But we need to get on it, though. Contrail, I think you got a good starting block. You're going to start us off with in the Book of Psalms. By our great king, King David. Here go them buzz boys. Okay. Hey, you better sit us on the starting block by our great king, King David.
Yes. Getting into the mind of our king, getting into the heart of our king. How many kings' heart and mind can we get into?
Well, I
hopefully
tell you
I can't get into some of these evil kings.
Hey, you don't need to get there. You've been there already all along. You don't even really, you already there already. You don't even need to get there. You're already there. Okay?
I'm so glad they didn't write nothing and leave nothing behind.
Amen to that, my brother. Amen to that. Okay.
Well, somebody left something behind because we on that same path they was on.
Left
something behind.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Some squeaked through.
So we in the book of Psalms 25, another psalm by King David. And we want to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the Creator, who even created King David to be our king, to drop so much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding upon us, even in these latter days, that we may have an opportunity and a chance to everlasting life, as Yah intended, to a better life, a new world, a new universe, a new heaven, and a new earth where wickedness is going to be destroyed. Most often even destroy death. And that's in there. So, King David, praise be his name, Yah, bless his soul. Unto thee, O Yah, do I lift up my soul. Speaking of the soul, King David was always concerned with his soul. He knows that Yah restores his soul, that his soul will dwell in the house of Yah forever. O my Elohim, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And that should be our prayer. If you walk in the righteous path, you ain't did nothing to nobody. You ain't got blood on your hands. You've been helping the poor and the needy, the fatherless and the widow. Why should wicked, ruin your life?
Yeah. You're right, Katria. That's what you should be praying.
Exactly. Why should you be ashamed? Is there something shameful that you did that you should be ashamed? And if you do have something that you should be ashamed for, you should confess it to Yah, acknowledge it, clean yourself up, and keep it moving. Just like King David, there's things that he was ashamed of, right?
Yeah.
He admitted it, though, didn't he?
There's a lot of things I'm ashamed of. And I try to make it right. I try to clean myself up and keep it moving.
There's nothing that you can hide from the Most High. He knows you. He sees
you.
He's watching you. So if you don't expose your shame, he's going to expose your shame for you. And I'm not talking about to the world. I'm talking about to the Most High. Don't hide it from him. Don't hide your shame from him, what you've done, because he knows. And ask him to correct your steps, correct your path.
Amen, brother.
Because there's a mindset out here. We don't know that adultery is not lawful in Yah's eyes. That stealing is not lawful in Yah's eyes. That not respecting your parents is not lawful in Yah's eyes. And on and on and on. So many things we do that's not lawful in Yah's eyes. But we good. It says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Yeah, and there's a lot of people in the world that do that. Transgressing without cause. Transgressing Yah's law without cause. Violating Yah without cause. But are you waiting on Yah? Some people think we're dinosaurs for waiting on Yah. We're not going to be ashamed. The dinosaurs ain't going to be ashamed because this word came way before the dinosaur. Show me thy ways. Whose ways? Yom Suf ways?
Nope.
Katriel's way?
Nope.
What way are we trying to follow, Yom Suf?
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov way.
Am I trying to follow you?
No, you better not.
Are you trying to follow me?
I bet not.
Okay. We both need to be on the same path. Show me thy ways, Yah's ways, and
exactly.
Teach me thy path. That's why King David said he leaded me in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. We're created to give glory to our Creator.
Amen.
Based on why he created us. So we should know his ways, and we should be walking in his path. Lead me in thy truth. So there's many people proclaiming the truth, right? Christian church say they got the truth. The Baptist
right.
church say they got the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses say they got the truth. The Muslims say they got the truth. The Buddhists say they got the truth. Who has the truth?
Only one got the truth.
Lead me in thy truth, O Yah, and teach me, for thou art the Elohim of my salvation. They got that word again. Who holds the keys to salvation? Which God?
Only one.
Okay. On thee do I wait all the day. What God are we waiting on? We're on a God of salvation. Some people are waiting on a Messiah. Who are you supposed to be waiting on?
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov.
Who carries the keys to what?
Salvation.
Salvation.
Redemption.
That magical word. Salvation from what? Oh. Salvation from what? The judgment that's coming for the wicked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, O Yah, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Or they got that old stuff again. They don't want that old stuff, Yom Suf. It's old like dinosaurs. See,
Lord.
But mercy and loving kindness from Yah is older than a dinosaur.
Hmm.
Right?
Right.
That's what we tap into. We tap into Yah's loving kindness and his tender mercies. Why? Because we know we're not perfect. We know we've done things that we should be ashamed of.
Certainly.
And it's only because of Yah's tender mercies and loving kindness that we're on this phone right now. Trust me. He says, remember not the sins of my youth. And that's what we're talking about here, sins of our youth. Because we was crazy as hell growing up, wasn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Nor my transgressions. All of us have committed transgressions. We've been crazy in our youth. We've done stupid things in our youth. Things we know better than we're supposed to have been done. But we're asking Yah not to remember those things. Nor my transgressions. According to thy mercies, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Yah. Mercies, loving kindness, and Yah's goodness. That's what we're depending on. Not somebody sacrificing their life for us to take our sins for us. Good and upright is Yah. Therefore, he will teach sinners in the way. So yes, he gives you the opportunity. He gave all the kings opportunity to do it right, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of them, because some of them, I mean, people didn't even give them a chance to live. Some reigned 2 years and somebody snuffed them out. But anyway, they didn't trust in Yah. So, the meek will he guide in judgment. You got that judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. So in order to receive salvation and to get past that judgment that's coming, you have to be meek to be guided through this judgment. If you're arrogant, you know it all, you can't tell me nothing, you don't listen to the elders, that's far from meekness. And you may not, you probably won't make it through that judgment. Because it's saying the meek will he guide through that judgment. So if you're not being guided by Yah, it means that you're not necessarily meek enough to be guided by him. They say the meek shall inherit the earth, and the meek will he teach his way. So you have to be humble in learning the way of Yah. You have to put your ego aside. You have to put your own thoughts aside. You have to put all the convictions inside of you aside and learn something new that you never learned before, Yah's way. Because ain't nobody teaching you Yah's way. Your enemy ain't teaching you. He teaches you about Christopher Columbus and Magellan and America's Vespucci and Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and what science got to say. They're not teaching you none of the paths of Yah. Not the church, not the mosque, not the synagogue. They're not teaching you the way of Yah. All the paths of Yah are mercy and truth. So the path that you want to be on is the path that Yah's mercy is founded and his truth is founded, such as keep his covenant and his testimony. So the nation of Israel is part of that covenant. And we're supposed to testify about Yah and Allah, just like our king, King David, which is what he's doing. He's testifying about his part in the covenant with the Most High. And these Psalms that we're reading are his testimony. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. So herein shows you that King David did not hide his iniquity. And you say he ain't hiding no small iniquity. He said his iniquity was not just big, but great. Great. And the mercy of Yah, the loving kindness of Yah, will forgive you for great sin. It says, what man is he that fears Yah? That's a good question. How many men on earth fear Yah? Yom Suf?
Not many, country, unfortunately.
Pivotal question.
Mm-hmm.
Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So the Most High is going to show you the way, and he's going to teach you in that way. All right? You're not going to teach yourself.
No, he's going to show you the way. Most High is going
his
to show you the way.
Right. Shall dwell at ease. How many people are at ease in these days and times?
Not many, country.
I know the ones that fear Yah, like you said. How many men fear Yah? Not many. How many souls dwell at ease? Not many. The men who fear Yah, the women that fear Yah, their souls dwell at ease. If your soul is not at ease, that means you have not actually found Yah. All right? I'm going to say that again. If your soul is not at ease, if you're always angsty, you're full of fear, you have not found Yah. Or you don't fear Yah. You fear man more than you fear Yah.
Exactly.
And the seed shall inherit the earth. Who's going to inherit the earth?
The righteous.
Russian. The Chinese. The American. The French. When they annihilate everybody off the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gates. They're going to inherit the earth.
Or is that right?
Well, people are trying to do world domination, right?
That ain't what I read.
World domination. One world order. Some people are striving for one world order.
Me?
Not under the banner of Yah. Huh?
The meek shall inherit the earth. Those that follow Yah. The meek shall inherit.
Is that what it said? That's walking Yah's way? That's walking Yah's path?
Yeah. That's what I read.
Souls are at ease?
Yes.
Says his seed shall inherit the earth. And you say, how many men is that in the earth?
Not too many. Not too many.
The secret of Yah is with them that fear him. So everybody don't know. It's a secret thing. Everybody ain't trying to find out. And he will show them his covenant. So in your meekness and your humility, in your acknowledging your sins and transgressions like in King David, and you seeking to walk Yah's path, the Most High say he's going to show you the covenant. Which covenant? The covenant that he made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the one we broke. My eyes are ever towards Yah. Are your eyes ever towards Yah?
It better be.
I pluck my feet out of the net. That was King David's security blanket. Every time he got in trouble, what'd he do?
Plucked his feet out of the net.
How did Yah pluck his feet out of the net? Because he prayed to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He communicated with him, right? He had a heart-to-heart relationship with him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Turn unto me. That's like when you're talking to your girl. Don't leave me. Turn back to me, mama. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me, girl. For I am desolate and afflicted.
I can't do nothing without you.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have that same type of relationship that we think that we have with our significant other. But that same compassion, passionate love that you have for your significant other, we should have for Yah. Because this is how you're speaking to him. Turn to me, please, and have mercy on me. For I'm desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. He's brokenhearted. Oh, bring me thou out of my distress. Return your love to me, Yah. Forgive me for the wrong I've done. Mm-hmm. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemy, for they are many. And they that hate me are with cruel hatred. Are they hating you, Yom Suf, for what you speak in Yah's word?
I suspect that they do, Katria.
Do they probably consider us their enemies? We like speaking out against the LGBTQ and Christianity. And we speak out against all kind of things. We ain't speaking out. We just showing you that Yah is against everything that mankind invents themselves to do when it's not in accordance to what he specifically instructed us to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I'm just reading what Yah's saying. If Yah is speaking out against it, so be it.
So here it is. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they that hate me are cruel. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Yisrael, O Elohim, out of all his troubles. And you know what redeem means, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in Christianity don't know what redeem really means. They think it means salvation. And that's only a part of it. Because when you redeem something, right,
mm-hmm.
you're taking back your property. It's kind of like
right.
when you go to a pawn shop. And you put your Rolex watch up there, and they give you money for the Rolex to pawn it.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and get your Rolex, right?
Right.
You give them the money. That's redeeming the watch that belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what redeeming, to take back property that belongs to you. And we're in the hands of people that think that we are their property.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? They've stamped you with their name, like they brand bulls and they brand sheep with their ranch name.
Mm-hmm.
We've been branded. They think that we're their property.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're born, they give you a number. It's called Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
But Yah's going to redeem us. He's going to take out of the hands of those who think they own us. And that's King David's prayer. Redeem Israel, Elohim. Out of what? How much trouble we in now, too?
We're in a whole bunch of trouble and don't know it. Okay?
And can y'all take us out of all of them?
You certainly can, gotcha.
All right, so that's the only way. Only y'all can take us out of all our trouble.
Exactly. He the one put us in this situation.
Exactly.
All right. For breaking the codification. And that's why we are broken people. All right, Katria, fellow students. I hope you all enjoyed those study lessons that Katria and I provided for you about the word of Yah, his perspectives, or as having a lack of a quality relationship with him. And how you can reverse engineer that and to have a better quality relationship. And just like King Josiah did, he did some reverse engineering. It didn't help everybody, but it helped him. He died in peace. He didn't see things to come. So unless everybody's on this together, on board with this plan together, it may affect individually you and make things better for yourself. But nationally wise, is don't help everybody. If everybody ain't on the same codification, establishing a quality relationship with Yah, meaning following the codification, respecting the contract, honoring the contract, fulfilling the contract. Otherwise, We've got to find ourselves where we are right now as I speak, as broken people, till we are redeemed, because we have decided to reverse engineer and do the right thing, follow the code. All right. Cartier and I, we always suggest to you at the end of these study sessions to help you in the facilitation of these reverse engineering so you can see things and that you can apply things. You need a new heart and a spirit. Your greatest king knew that when his relationship with Yah had been severed by his behavior, that he didn't want to stay too long in that predicament. He knew that that wasn't going to work for him. He knew, I got to get me a new thinker. Otherwise, I'm going to be on the outs. I need to be in the end. So if you want to get in the end with Yah, get your new thinker, a new spirit, a new heart, just like King Darwin. Ask for that tonight to help facilitate in your recovery. All right? Otherwise, you're going to stay broken. I'm just keeping it. I'm not selling you no sugar sandwiches, okay? Keep it real for you. Well, we love you. May the Most High bless you. May your steps be directed and ordered, not by me, not by Cartier, not even by yourselves, by the word of Yah. That you apply that word and that word alone to help facilitate your recovery and your recovery plan. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
We're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold and bleak.